Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Born to Succeed podcast, the number one podcast on the planet for helping you succeed on both a personal and professional level, where every podcast we bring you motivation, inspiration, faith, hope, and love, and we remind you that you are born to succeed. Welcome back to the Born to Succeed podcast, ladies and gentlemen, the number one podcast on the planet for helping you succeed on both a personal and professional level. I'm your gracious host, Michael Merritt. Today we have an amazing guest. This guy, I'm telling you, his nickname is literally the Wizard of Oz. I mean, we can go from there, guys. He's a speaker, he's an author, he's a coach, he's a mentor, he's a podcast host, he's a brand designer, he's a business entrepreneur. He is originally hailing from England, but of course he lives in California now, and he literally became a U.S. citizen in 2021. This guy, way back in the day before he became famous with a fabulous business called Bluefish, he was actually a bricklayer, believe that or not. And then Bluefish spawned a book, and we're going to talk more about that. His first book is titled Bluefishing, The Art of Making Things Happen. And that was released in 2017. But now he's got a second book out, and it's called Go for Stupid, The Art of Achieving Magnanimous, Ridiculous Goals. So that being said, without further ado, I'm going to bring Mr. Steve, the Wizard of Oz Sims, on. Sir, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. But now I've got to live up to that intro.
Man. Hey, I mean, I could have kept going. I was sitting there thinking all these other things. I was like, man, I'm cutting him short by just giving this intro right here.
Well, I'm glad you kept it short then.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, we're certainly appreciative of you being on the Born to Succeed podcast. You know, as I state there right at the beginning of every show, it's about everybody's being personally and professionally just trying to build that level, because I truly believe everyone is born to succeed. Sometimes we just have to choose it. And so when we have amazing folks like you on that come and share that intellectual wealth, they get to listen to something a little different about mindset than I'm normally spouting at them. So I love to have guests on, especially when they're like you. So, Mr. Steve, tell us about yourself and what all you're doing these days. I know you got a lot of stuff going on. The book coming out, Go for Stupid.
Yeah, I've got a lot going on because I have a fear of boredom. Like most entrepreneurs, we like to fill up our day. The sad thing is that most entrepreneurs fill up their day with stuff that they shouldn't be focusing on, they shouldn't be doing. So over the years, I've got a lot better at kind of delegating and passing stuff out so that I can just maximize my days with podcasts, speaking, coaching, designing, whatever it is. But I'm terrified of being bored. I'm also terrified of monotony and being stagnant. And I've, you know, like all entrepreneurs, we've all been ripped off, we've all been laughed at, we've all been sued, we've all been downtrodden. And if I'm talking to you now out there and you're listening to this and go, well, that hasn't happened to me, just wait. You know, it's the world of an entrepreneur. We're there to be ridiculed just before we're to be applauded. And that's the way it is. So I've had the moments where I've had to, you know, spank out my credit cards on a Wednesday just so I could keep the lights on Friday or pay the payroll. And now I'm not in that situation anymore, thankfully. But I still drive for consistency and growth. So if I'm the same person today that I am in 6 months' time, I failed. So I try to keep myself busy so I can learn the lessons and education by things not always going perfectly to keep me evolving. And at the end of the day, as a human being, our job is to evolve, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, every day. Yeah. I mean, I tell people that every day, progress equals happiness. We have to be progressing in life or we're regressing in life. We never sit still. It's just like a plant. We have to water and nurture and have faith and then grow, or we become stagnant and we die.
So we stink, we die
every day. Yeah. Yeah. So take me back a little bit to blue fishing. Of course, the book, Blue Fishing, The Art of Making Things Happen. This came from a business that you had, that you were the founder and CEO of, Bluefish, back in the day. So kind of tell us a little bit about that.
Wow. I'll try and keep it as easy as possible, but I never expected to do a book. That's the first thing. I never expected anyone to know who I was. And in fact, when the book came out, my author, they paid me very, very well to write the book. That's the first reason I wrote the book, because I got a big fat check.
That's always a good thing, yeah.
It's a good reason. But when they gave me the deal, they looked up my social with all my, you know, my Twitter and my Instagram. And on Instagram, I had 16 followers. And that was it. And I reckon 15 of those were probably lost. They got me confused with someone else. So I remember at the time, they'd given me this big check. I think they probably regretted it the second after they did a bit of checking up on me. But the point is, I never tried to launch a company. You see, I came from a bricklaying world where my life was destined. You know, you are going to be on the building site until you're not. That's it. That was as colorful and as deep as my life was going to be. But entrepreneurs, we're kind of weird. And we're wired differently. And we're aggravated. That's a beautiful thing. Don't ever forget the fact that you only gain because you're aggravated. You're aggravated with something, you solve it, you find someone else that's got that problem, and you sell them the solution. That's what an entrepreneur does. So as I was growing up as a builder, I thought to myself, is this it? Is this my life? So what I did was I went out to actually have a conversation with someone that had money. You know, why speak to poor people? That's a waste of time, because I'm a poor person and I know I have nothing to offer. So it just seems silly for me to have a conversation with a bunch of broke people about how to be successful. So I started having conversations with successful people. Now, in order to have that conversation, I had to do something for them to provide value. I was a doorman of a nightclub, so I could get them in without the queue. I could get them back door. I could let them stay after the bars closed. I had this access. And then I started getting them into other bars, and then other clubs, and then other private parties. And then I started throwing my own private parties. And I went from throwing parties in the back end of Hong Kong to working with people like the Grammys, the New York Fashion Week, Kentucky Derby, and most recently, Sir Elton John's Oscar party. So it grew into literally the biggest events in the world. But here's the scoop. I never wanted to do that. That was never the reason for, and it wasn't even a company. It was, if I can have a conversation with a billionaire, I can then start enacting what they do and become that person. Now, I'm not billionaire status yet, but I'm not scraping for my next coffee. So in which case, I launched this business as a Trojan horse. I wanted the information. The funny thing was, I thought once I've got that information, then I'll go and get a real job, without realizing it, that we basically invented the personal concierge industry. And then 5 years ago, as you've mentioned, I met someone in a party and they went, oh, I love what you do. You should write a book. And I went, well, if you pay me, I will. I didn't realize that this person was actually part of a very large publishing house. So a week later, I literally got an offer. So any of you out there thinking, my God, I've been trying to get a book deal for years. I'm sorry. I know my story sucks. But when you're in a great room, you take the risk of great things happening. If you're in a room full of losers and everyone's losing, then guess what the accumulation of you going to be? So always make sure you're in the right room. And that's what I've always done. I've always made sure that I'm in superior rooms. And as I get really, really good, I change my room. And I did the book. I got paid. I didn't expect it to do anything else, but all of a sudden people were like, hey, I like the way you think. Can you help me with my company? Can you become a board director? Can you market? Can you brand? Can you teach me? Can you train? Can you speak? Can you coach? And I was like, whoa, I've got a few more than 16 followers now, just a couple more. Right. But now my entire life's changed. And then 2 years ago, I got aggravated enough to write my second book. So let's see if that does as well as the first one.
There you go. There you go. And you've got a community, what you kind of consider your family. And I think that's called Sims Distillery. Is that correct?
I have the Sims Distillery, which is a group of aggravated weirdos that want to do something different. And the funny thing is, and I'm talking to the listeners now.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll address you on this.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a conversation in the pub, at a coffee table, in a barbecue, and you've got your friends around you, and you start telling them about your ideas, and you start telling them about you're going to do this, and then you're going to achieve this, and then you're going to scale it, and maybe franchise it, and then I'm going to sell it, and you're talking, and you're passionate, and you're excited, and then you look at your friends, and they've all glazed over. They all look at you, and they're like, my God, he's gone mad. And what do we do? What do we do at that point? Yeah. We turn around and we go, oh, I don't know what I was thinking. Someone spiked my coffee. You know, I had a crazy moment there, but it's all right. I'm back now. And we try to fit in. Have you ever had that happen?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we've all had
that. A lot of times I either had the reaction that you just said, or I tried to take that other side, especially once I started getting into mindset of they just don't see what I see.
And that's the difference. In the early stages, we dilute us until we get educated. And here's the big education. We dilute us to fit in when we were never built to. You see, someone said to me a while ago that there's billions of people in the planet. 15% of those people are entrepreneurs that build their own companies. The other 85% of the planet work for those 15%. So what are you? Are you one of the leaders? Are you one of the followers?
Right. Yeah, for sure. Right. Yeah. And of course, you have other things, the speakeasy events that you do.
Yeah.
And those are limited to what, 40 people at each
40
event?
40 people. Yeah, 40. We tried to, I wanted to find out how credible I was. And this is a funny thing to say, but there's an old saying that everyone's in until they have to pay. And so I thought to myself, I'm going to run an event, but it's going to be a reverse mastermind. Now, everyone goes to an event because this person's speaking or this person's going to be there. And I thought to myself, rather than going to an event because this person's going to be there, why don't you come to the event because of the room of who's going to be there and come to get your problem solved? So whenever you sign up for a speakeasy, and you can go to stevedsims.com and you can see the speakeasy, but underneath that advert for the speakeasy is a little button that says, what is a speakeasy? Okay.
Right.
Click on that and watch the video. And what we try to do is whenever anyone signs up, we go, hey, Michael, thanks for signing up. Thanks for registering. But what's your problem? And we want to know what your issue is today. Your brand, your marketing, staff, design, whatever it is. And if we can solve it, then we take you, we accept your application, and then I'll go and find someone that can speak at that event to solve your problem. So we've been focusing on that for, my God, 4 years, and it's really doing well.
Wow. Nice. And I've looked at some of those events online, and I will definitely be attending one of those, definitely in the future, no doubt about it. Now, you're a married man, been married 30 plus years, right?
30 as of Sunday, yes. Okay. So celebrating my 30-year anniversary. I'm pretty boring. She was my first wonderful woman that I kissed, 16 and 17 years old. And to be honest with you, I hope she's the last one I kiss.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Now I know you're a motorcycle lover. I follow you on Facebook and I'm not really big on the other platforms, all that IG and all the other stuff, even LinkedIn. Everybody's like, you need to get on LinkedIn. It's the business platform versus Facebook. And I'm like, I just don't have time for all that, man. Okay. Oh, my, you know, just get a virtual assistant and they can do it for you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But I follow you on Facebook and I see motorcycles all the time and I'm a motorcycle enthusiast. I'll be 50 in March and I got a motorcycle for my fourth birthday. So my dad raised me on bikes. He was like, here's a horse and here's the motorcycle. When you get tired of this one, get on this one. When the horse gets tired, then ride your motorcycle because it won't get tired. It just runs out of gas. And he started me off on a 40 and then a 50. And for him, it was you had to prove what you rode to get to the next bike. So I started off on a one speed 40 and then a one speed 50 and then a three speed 50. And then up from there. And next thing you know, and every bike from Hondas to Yamahas to Suzuki's to Harley Davidson's, you name it, I've had them all through the years. But so I see you riding and I see you ride different bikes. And where did that love come from? Where did that start?
So I wasn't fortunate enough to be introduced to motorcycles by my parents. You know, being a lad in London, I got into motorcycles, and I hate to say this, but I got into motorcycles because my mum didn't like them. And so, like all kids, we rebel. And I was like, oh, my mum hates that bike. I better look at it then, you know? and so that's how I ended up starting it. But something happened. I realized that... I could escape. When I was on a motorcycle, something happened to me, my mind, my aura, my emotions, my experience. And if it's a dirt bike throwing it through the trees, you've got a different sense of awareness. If it's on a Harley and you're doing a big street and the, you know, the Pacific Coast Highway or Mulholland Highway's on your arms, that's a different experience. And if I've got a race bike and I'm doing 180 around a racetrack with my knees down, that's a different experience. But they all share a commonality that is rare today. And that commonality is you can't touch me. You can't speak to me. You can't reach me. Now, I was on a plane. I was speaking at an event in Canada and I turned on my laptop. And of course, the plane has Wi-Fi, so I connected to the Wi-Fi. All of a sudden, I'm getting messages and I'm getting texts. Can't get a phone call, but people are like, hey, Steve, I've been trying to find you. Where are you? And I'm like, I'm on a plane. What do you want? I couldn't avoid people.
Right.
And in this planet today, whether you're going for a coffee, whether you're driving down the road, or whether you're 30,000 feet up in the air, people can still contact you. But when I'm on my bike, I'm engrossed in that moment. I can't pick up your laundry. You can't text me to pick up a coffee. I can't give you a lift to work. So I get to escape. And each bike I have my oldest one. I used to have a 1958, but my oldest one now is a 1975. And it's a Norton Commando. So when I'm riding that,
nice.
It's got a 0-60, which I think is 3 days. And it's just this old chugger 1975 bike, and it gives me a different emotion. I feel like a gentleman. I feel like a lord on that bike. And then, as I say, when I'm on the Harley, I'm feeling like a free bird. And then when I'm on the race bike, I'm all about the adrenaline. So each one gives, it's like having a different meal. You know, there's a different taste with everything.
Yeah. And it's so important to be able to have that and to have that hobby. You know, it's one of the things I tell people all the time in our wheel of life is that, you know, we have all those different sides, spiritual, mental, physical. And so many times people work on one side or the other, and I'm going to become successful. And I'm like, what are your hobbies? What do you do to get away? What are your de-stressors? I don't have time for that, Mike. I'm like, you have to make time for that. We can't go 24/7. You can't drive a car with the pedal down 100 miles an hour all the time. You have to bring back. And for me, that's what motorcycles always been. I get on a bike, my arms go up, and it's just like, blink. Just what you said, everything just kind of sheds off of me. I really just kind of go into wind therapy mode, and everything else just kind of whoosh off the back of me. And I kind of forget everything that's going on. And it's the perfect therapy, no doubt about it. And like you said, I'm the same way, whether it's a dirt bike or Harley. It's certainly a different feeling when I'm slinging through the dirt, cornering each hill and trying to dig in and get that bike, or coming off of a nice jump and trying not to make sure that I smash my face when I come down on the handlebars. Because I like to go a little radical. I've always been, as my dad said when I was younger, WFO. And for those that don't know that saying, we won't tell you what it means.
No.
It means ride fully open. That's what it means. But definitely, I always was that way. So, yeah, you know, that, I'm always like different feeling, no doubt. But motorcycles are great. But, yeah, so so what else is going on in Mr. Steve Sims' world that, I mean, I know you've spoken at Harvard and Pentagon. I mean, when I saw that, I was like, I have to ask about that. What led to something magnificent like that?
I'm going to answer that, but I'm just going to add to the conversation we're having. Now, two bikers have now started spouting on how wonderful the motorcycle world is. For anyone out there, I don't care if it's walking your dog. I don't care if it's paddleboarding, hiking, cooking. You've got to disconnect. And here's the dumb thing. We have these things called cell phones. And every day, we plug it in to charge it.
Yes, sir.
We don't pay the same respect to ourselves.
Yep.
So I don't care what your hobby is, just get one. I don't care what your meditation is, just find one. I don't care what your distraction is, just get distracted. You can't do everything all the time without a moment to disconnect and recharge. So make sure it's a priority.
Absolutely.
So I will tell you the Pentagon story because this is bloody hilarious. I got approached by a wonderful gentleman from an event called American Dream U. And American Dream U is run by a guy called Phil Randozzi. And they would go around to different military camps and speak to military that were actually leaving the forces within the next few years. And it would be different entrepreneurs giving them different ideas of what they could do when they left the military. Right. So he asked me to come along and I was like, yeah, I'd be glad. I'd be proud to do that. So I went over and I spoke at Fort Worth. And I met some military. I met some Green Berets, and it was a phenomenal event. Loved it. What I didn't know is, and I knew this bit, he was doing them all over America, okay? What I didn't know is that they videoed every speaker, and then it got sent to the Pentagon, and the Pentagon had to pick their top favorite. I had no idea about this. And so there was about 12 of these people from, I don't know, 200 over America that they requested came to the Pentagon to speak with their three-star generals, the big boys, the guys that push buttons, all right? The scary dudes. And so I get a phone call one day and they were like, hey, Steve, maybe a problem, but would you like to speak at the Pentagon? You've been requested. And I was like, yeah, sure I have. And they went, no, you have. And I was like, really? And they went, yeah, would you do it? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, well, here's the problem. And I'm like, what's the problem? They're like, you're British. So this is deep in the Pentagon. It's not in, like, you know, the community center. This is in probably the most secure environment in America, if not one in the world. So they said, you're British. You're going to have to go through these security checks. You may not pass because you're British. All right, fine. So I went through these security checks and I actually passed. And I got invited to speak at the Pentagon. But here's where it gets funny, all right? So I'm in the truck and I'm driving home one day and I'm speaking to one of my team. And I said to her, oh, I've got some news for you. You're not going to believe this. And she's like, what's that? And I went, I'm going to speak at the Pentagon. And she's like, really? And I started to talk and my phone died. So I'm like, God. So I had to like hold the button, restart the phone. The phone started again. I phoned her back up and I went, sorry about that. Anyway, I was talking, I'm going to speak at the Pentagon. The phone shuts down again. So twice this phone shut down and I'm like, this is a bit spooky. I say this word and my phone shuts down.
Oh,
so
wow.
When I thought, it's, you know, I'm not a conspiracy nut. But I thought, that's a little bit weird. So I didn't phone her back. I didn't mention it anymore. I get to the Pentagon, and the night before there was a small cocktail reception. So I'm at this reception. I'm talking to one of the generals there about the following day and things. And I said, hey, here's a funny story for you. And I said, I'm in the truck and I say Pentagon, the phone dies. And I phone up my friend and I say Pentagon again, and my phone dies again. I said, it was like you were tracking me. And he turned around and he didn't even smile. He looked at me and he went, why wouldn't we? And I went, you were tracking me? And he went, maybe. Wow. And it was just, I was like, oh my God. Now he had a little smile on him at the end. But for a couple of minutes, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, see, you don't know whether he was or not. You're like,
Still today, I have no idea if he was joking. Apparently, when you do get accepted into the Pentagon, and this makes sense, but when you get accepted into the private areas of the Pentagon, and we went private, we went to some depths. I've seen parts of the Pentagon I didn't even know existed. The bloody thing goes down really, really deep into the ground. You see about three or four stories above. No, that thing goes down. And so when they knew we were coming, they said, you know, we will monitor your socials, your conversations. You know, we got to keep an eye on you if you're going to be coming into the big house.
Wow.
It's scary.
Man. And then the Harvard gig. That was the other one, because you've spoken at Harvard twice, right?
Twice. You would have thought if they'd learned from the first time, but no. Yeah, I spoke at Harvard. I got asked to get up there and speak about the world of luxury, because there's all these different, and you brought it up. You mentioned it really well. You mentioned, oh, you've got to be on LinkedIn because it's business and Facebook's fun. What people don't realize is that there's more companies promoting and marketing on Facebook than there are on LinkedIn. So why is LinkedIn the business directory when everyone uses it? See, the bottom line of it is, we're confused. What genius told you that LinkedIn was the business directory?
Right.
So there's all these misconceptions. That's the same with branding. I run a branding company at Sims.media, and we teach people how to market and brand to luxury clients and affluent clients. And people look at me riding around on my motorcycle, drinking me old fashions, wearing me black t-shirt, my tattoos, my piercings. And they go, hey, you can't speak to rich clients like that. And I'm like, why can't you? I've been doing it for 29 years now. And so there's all these misconceptions. And that's really, and you just brought one up. You basically shouted out a myth of how LinkedIn is business and Facebook it. Anywhere a client or a consumer sees you, falls in love with you and buys your product, that's a business platform. For some people, it's TikTok. For some people, it's Twitter. For some people, it's Instagram. For some people, it's Snapchat. Regardless, it's wherever people consume you, that's the best platform for you.
There you go. Yeah. You know, and I was thinking back to something you said a minute ago, and it reminded me of Tony Robbins, because I'm a Tony Robbins coach and a Zig Ziglar coach, and something you said about the people in the room, you know, the people in the room at, whether it's the speakeasy events or your Sims Distillery and getting in that community, which I'm looking at getting in. I always say, I think back to Tony, I always say in proximity to power, the proximity to power, the room, who's in the room. And when he started hanging out with billionaires, he started making bigger deals. He was like, when I hung out with billionaires, I made, you know, smaller deals. But then when it was billionaires and it was this big, and then it was, when it was a multi-billionaire, then all of a sudden now we're partnering companies together. And none of that would have happened had I not been in that room. So I always tell folks, when they think of going to these events and they see, for example, your event, you know, when they look at the price on it, go, that, how can I spend that? And you go, it's worth it when you get in the room. It really is sometimes to pay into yourself, because like you said, sometimes we'll charge our phone, but we don't charge ourselves or put into ourselves, right?
Yep,
we'll waste exactly. a couple grand on a cup of Joe every day, but we're not going to spend a couple grand on a VIP that'll change our life. And you're like, come
100%.
On. Where are you at? Yeah. So the last thing I have on my list, Mr. Steve, and I'll let you go. I know you're a busy guy. It's go to jail with Steve. What's all that about? I'm looking at that going, go to jail with Steve. I'm like, I'm thinking if I chose between the speakeasy event or that one, I'm like, I'm probably going to go to the speakeasy event. I mean, it sounds novel. If I could just hang out with you, I'd be like, sure, man. All right, I'll be there. But I'm like, if I had to pick one, I'm probably going to go to the speakeasy. But tell us about go to jail with Steve, live, go to prison. What is this about?
So it was about 4 years ago, a fella by the name of Jason Gaynard had found out about this event that you go into a prison and you actually communicate with inmates and educate them on what they can do in a more legal, productive way when they get out. Right. And I thought, this is fun. I'm just going to go along. It's got to be silly. Steve Sims goes to prison. What a hard man he is. Yeah, it was all that kind of crap. I think I was in there for maybe an hour before my world changed. And I suddenly saw people that never had an option. You know, when you're 4 years old and you're going to school, or when you're 6 years old and you're going to school, and your dad or your uncle, in quotation marks, your uncle, gives you a bag to drop off to a mate of his on the way to school, and without you realizing it, you're actually dealing and you're delivering drugs. So when you get a 16 year old and you're being given $50 for it, it's normal. So it's a tough thing for you to change your life when it's the life that you've been given. And so it started to change me, and it started to change the way I look to people. And I'm having conversations with people that are in jail or in prison for gang murders. And, you know, there's people there that have, you know, murdered three or four people, and they are just mortified with themselves, yet they're still able to stay positive. And I didn't understand it. And so I started going there, and I went there, and I realized how it changed the way that I looked and I thought and I communicated. And I got to communicate to the person, not with what they have done. Now, when you're speaking to a murderer, you look at him and you go, oh, he's a murderer. I don't want to speak to him. But then you don't get to speak to the person. You get to speak to the label. Well, just imagine when you meet a director of a company. You go, oh, that's a director. The opposite thing happens. You suddenly revere that person. You suddenly admire that person. But what happens when you find out that that guy's a crook? Now, if you had again decided to learn to speak to the person and not the label, you'd have realized that. And I've often said that I've been in some parties in Beverly Hills and I've been in a maximum security prison. The difference between the two is these people wear better class suits. So you've always got to be careful. So the prison taught me to have the conversation with the person, not the label. And so I started saying to my people, my community, who wants to get uncomfortable? Who wants to come to prison with me? And I started doing that, and we started getting loads of people coming to prison. They pay $500 as a donation. So it comes off your tax bill, so what do you care? And you get to spend a day in prison with me, and I've openly said, it will shock you. If you're interested, go to stevedsims.com or send me an email at ask@stevedsims.com, and I'll send you details of it. But I'm going, my next time I go, I think, is the 8th of November. But I really like to go to prison. I take people in there all the time.
Wow. And for all those listening, I'm going to put all of Steve's stuff on our description. All of his websites, the media, all that stuff will be in the description so that you can just click on that and easily run to his social media. So I said one last thing, but I saw one more thing on my list. It was when I was watching the other day, and you were questioning this guy, and it was on the entrepreneur side that you had. And you said, you know, if I asked you to a party, what would you ask or something along those lines? And he said, what do I wear? And you said, something else, and he went on and on. I'll let you describe that to the listeners because you can do it a little better than I can. So tell me about that real quick because I thought that was genius.
I've always looked at things as basic and as primitive as possible. And so I always say that whenever you're going to communicate with someone, what's the point? What is the value you bring to that conversation? And I said, you don't have to overthink it. I said, if you look at it like a barbecue party and you go, hey, you want to come to my barbecue party this Saturday? You say yes. What's the first question you ask me? And a lot of people, and this game I played a lot now, so a lot of people have gone, oh, I know this one, and they don't do it. But when you catch people right, they turn around, they go, what time does it start? What shall I wear? Who will be there? Can I bring a friend? Can I bring some food? And it's that last request that after about six or five selfish questions, where is it going to be? What shall I? All these questions look after you. The last one looks after me. So if you imagine every relationship you ever get into, think to yourself, what can I bring to the party? If you focus on what you can bring first, before asking all of your questions, you'll gain a valuable relationship and they will be gagging to give you what you need.
There we go. Man, and I'm glad I got that one in there. I saw that one at the bottom. So I was like, oh, I got to get that one in because that is good stuff. Mr. Sims, a.k.a. the Wizard of Oz, man, we appreciate you being on. Guys, Go for Stupid. It's coming out October 18th. It's right around the corner. So we appreciate you being on, Mr. Sims, and providing some intellectual wealth today. You know, on the Born to See podcast, we're certainly blessed. And that's kind of where we'll wrap it up today, guys. We always say, remember, treat others as you want to be treated. And remember, you can have everything you want in life if you just help enough others get what they want and need. So with that being said, until next time, have a blessed day. Bye-bye. We want to thank everyone so much for taking the time to listen to the Born to Succeed podcast with Michael and Elisa Merritt. We know that you have a very busy schedule, and we appreciate you taking time out of your day to spend time with us. You can find us at Merritt Coaching Group on YouTube, Facebook. You can email us at merrittcoachinggroup@gmail.com. We want to remind you that you can have everything you want in life if you just help enough others get what they want and need. Remember to follow the golden rule. You can have everything you want. Yeah, but you got to do what? Treat others as you want to be treated. So until next time, have a very blessed day. From Michael and Elisa Merritt.